Any of you ever have an adult, a mom, a dad, a teacher, tell you, you're going to have to learn to listen? You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to learn to listen, you know, and after the fact, yeah, meaning you're probably standing in the middle of some mess that you didn't listen, and now we've got something that we've got to clean up. Well, that's biblical. Just like, for example, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord can be taught. If it can be taught, we can learn it. Amen. And in the same way, we can learn to listen. The instructions are to incline our ear, meaning a lot of noise in a room, but you turn your ear to the voice and to the mouth of someone that's speaking that you want to hear above all the other noise. And when the Bible, you know, Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice and know his voice, and the voice of another they are. Praise God, testing 1, 2. And so what I believe is the more familiar we become with what God has already spoken to us in his word, that that he'll help us apply his word to our lives in particular, in specifically areas. And that's when he begins to speak to us his voice. Amen. And so you can train your ear to hear and recognize, in other words, you can learn to listen and hear the voice of God for yourself. You know, sometimes people say incredulously, you mean to tell me God speaks to you? And it's like, well, are you telling me that he doesn't speak to you? Because, you know, and isn't it amazing how nobody has an issue with the devil speaking to them, you know, but somehow it becomes very extreme now that God is speaking to us. But he longs to communicate with you and to help you. And if you really just get right down to it, his ability to help us is greatly dependent upon our ability to listen to him and do what he says. And so we've got to learn to listen to the Lord. And I use the example, my dad has a way of clearing his throat. And when we were little on a Friday night at Kmart in Midfield, Alabama, if me and Matthew ever got separated from mom and dad in that store, we'd just get real still and listen. We hear dad clear his throat and we'd know where to go, right? Because we recognized his voice. And we can become so familiar with the Lord's voice that we'd be able to recognize it over all the imposters, over all the lies and voices that are in the world today trying to confuse us and mislead us. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the disciples, and he says that it had been given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, and them being the multitudes at large, Jesus said it has not been given. And the context of this, verse number 11, is why Jesus used parables. Jesus would tell stories to illustrate truth from his world by using something in our world that we could understand or recognize. And what we have to understand is that each one of those parables, they were invitations. They were opportunities for the hearers to look more closely. We looked at this last week. I'm not going back through the verses, but we are hardwired by our Creator to search things out. We are created to search out mysteries. Let me say it another way. We're created to solve problems. Amen. Not on our own, with the Lord, working together with Him. That's in essence what someone in authority does, is they solve problems. Amen. And sometimes solving a problem requires solving a mystery. There's understanding why things aren't working the way they should be working, why something's not producing what it should be producing. And again, that requires an effort on our part. A lot of people just find random puzzles. How do you say that? Sudoku, whatever the, you know, in other words, we look for, buy books of. My beautiful mother-in-law, she loves her a word search. You know, we should buy her books of puzzles because she enjoys, again, searching things out, finding things, solving things. Anybody besides me, a treasure hunt appeals to you. You know, you look at some of the different reality TV shows that are popular now where they're searching for gold or searching for hidden treasures and things of this nature. Again, it's because that touches and strikes a chord somewhere deep within us. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. And the wisdom for our glory, the Bible says, has been hidden for us, which means it's not laying on the surface. It requires some effort to search it out. So when Jesus says the disciples had been given by God the ability to know the mysteries, but to others it had not yet been given, Jesus was trying to qualify as many people as possible, put them in the position so that they could be trusted. As a lot of verses here, I don't know how long we'll go down this vein of teaching, but remember when Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And now that you have progressed into that status of fellowship with me, I'll tell you all the things that my Father's sharing with me. Jesus didn't tell everybody everything the Father shared with him, but notice he did share it to the ones, watch this, that he could trust with it, that he knew would be good stewards with it, that would value it, that would appreciate it, but most importantly, would use it and do something with it, not just for their benefit, but also for the benefit of other people. Now, let me back up for a minute because this might help us in an effort to pick up where we left off last week. We talked a lot about the importance of the kingdom because we have to understand the importance of the kingdom in order to appreciate and understand the importance of knowing the mysteries of the kingdom. But let me start here, kind of an unrelated subject, but to make the point. You'll never understand the importance and power of praying in unknown tongues until you understand the importance and power of prayer. So people who think, you know, that that's not that big a deal, well, if you understand how critically important prayer is, and what the Bible say about if we pray in agreement with God's will, we know that we have what we ask. All right. Well, Romans 8 says that when we pray in an unknown tongue, we pray according to the will of God. And the context there is, what if you don't know how to pray as you ought? In other words, what if you're in a situation where you don't know what the will of God is and you need an answer, but how can you be confident that you're praying the will of God and you'll have what you ask, right? If you don't know what God's will is, well, that's where, again, the Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you. So, but watch the connections here. You'll never understand the importance and power of praying in unknown tongues until you understand the importance and power of prayer. You'll never understand the importance and power of prayer until you understand the importance and power of words, right? Of words. And you never understand the importance and power of words until you understand the importance and power of your tongue. Are you following me? So in other words, there's a connection to all of these things that, you know, folks who are just dismissive and treat important things as optional, a lot of that's due to ignorance, because they don't know, but also a lot of it is because they don't understand, again, the importance of these things. But once you begin to understand how important and powerful your words are, it only makes sense then that prayer, and of course connected with prayer, like Brother Donald was preaching a couple of weeks ago, you've got saying and praying, and there's a difference between the two. Amen. So that's a part of it. But once you understand the importance and power of your words, then it only makes sense that prayer is important because it what? Involves words. And then praying in unknown tongues, because that's next level praying where the Holy Spirit comes along and participates with us in praying. Now, are we talking about the kingdom and hearing and listening, or are we talking about prayer? Well, all the above. But if you can follow that pattern, I believe this is also true. You'll never understand the importance and power of knowing the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven until you understand the importance and power of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we tried to do last week, is we almost took the entire time we were together to go back and look at this. Now, you know, I am satisfied with this. You may not be, but if you just base it, in other words, if we're going to determine the importance of something, how many of you believe that what Jesus taught us was important? And if, thank you for that one, amen. How many of you believe that what Jesus taught us was important? I mean, he knew a lot of things. I mean, you realize, I mean, he was connected to his father, who knew all treasures of wisdom and knowledge, right? So, remember Solomon? I mean, Solomon would be an example. I mean, he knew about animals. He knew about insects. He knew about the planets. I mean, there was really no subject that he didn't know a whole bunch about. And Jesus obviously tapped into that same source of wisdom and knowledge that Solomon was, God the Father. But Jesus didn't just talk about a whole bunch of different things. So if you just look at the sheer volume of time and words Jesus devoted to teaching us about the kingdom, that in and of itself ought to tell us how important and how powerful the kingdom is. I showed it to you last week. I'm not going back through the verses, but remember, it was Jesus' first subject. It was his last subject, and it was his most frequent subject. He taught on different things, but nothing more than the kingdom. So again, I'm trying to, maybe you got it already, but let me just spend just another minute or two here. All right. When Jesus, we waited on him for a long time. And then when he finally gets here, because he was born of a virgin, but also born under the law, we had to wait till he turned 30 for him to begin an earthly ministry. Now he turns 30, he's got 3 years. Right? 3 years. And, of all the things that he could have taught us about, the fact that his father instructed him and the Holy Spirit anointed him to teach on the kingdom more than any other subject ought to tell us that this is an important thing. I mean, he's raised up from the dead 40 days before he ascends to the throne of the universe. He spends those 40 days teaching on things pertaining to the kingdom. He didn't just give us salvation. He saved us so he could get us into the kingdom and get the kingdom in us. And so, as we said last week, a lot of God's people are in the kingdom and the kingdom's in them, but they don't know how to operate in, from, and through the kingdom. It's still a mystery to them. Still are clueless as to how all of that works and functions. Now, I put this back in the notes for tonight, okay? For many of God's people, the kingdom and how to function in it and from it remains. And I capitalize that mystery because that brings us back to the verse. Jesus said, it's been given to you to know the mysteries, but to them it has not been given. So he taught parables to try to draw them in. Let me challenge you to do something, okay? And some of you are already doing this. But take a verse, maybe it's one of your favorite verses, a passage. I like 1 John 4:4 is a good one for this, where he talks about greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. I mean, that Hebrews 10:14, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Get a verse and just, you don't have to close your eyes, but it helps me to just kind of close my eyes, not because I'm trying to be spooky or spiritual, but just because it helps me shut everything and everybody else out around me. And then just begin to think about that verse and begin to talk to the Lord. You can do it under your breath or out loud. It's like, Lord, what are you trying to say to me in this verse? And what does this verse mean to me? And how should I understand this verse? Because what happens when you do that, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and He begins to lead you and guide you into the truth that's within that verse for your life and for your family. So our taking that passage and meditating it in time isn't everything, but how we spend our time is a reflection of what we value or what we think is important. And when we say to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, your word's important to me. I feel like you're trying to say something to me in this verse. What is it? So this is where the Holy Spirit comes alongside and He begins to talk to you in your thoughts. It's that still small voice in your heart. But this is the best place. If you're going to learn to hear God's voice, this is the best and easiest and most accurate way to do that, is as it relates to something He's already said to you, something He's already said about you, meaning something that He said indicating who you are in Christ Jesus. And so we meditate, we prioritize, we shut out everything else, put the phone down or even turn it off. Amen. Obviously TV down, off, whatever. Maybe you got a favorite spot. You like to go take a walk, or obviously you're going to need to open your eyes if you're walking. Amen. But somewhere where you can get still and quiet and hear the Lord speak to you. My brother, sister, there's no substitute for this. Nothing has cost us more as God's people than not listening to or not hearing what it is that God is saying to us. And it's always been important. Listen to me, please. It's never been a time on this earth when it's not been important. But the lies are ramping up. I mean, there's certain things that are cheap shots or whatever. I mean, we live in a world where a lot of educated people on our planet and our nation today can't decide how many genders there are. I'm cheap shots and easy laughs or whatever. It's getting crazier in the world. And did Jesus not say that if the times weren't shortened, that it would deceive the very elect? So we absolutely, in these last of the last days, we need to be able to hear the word of God, and you'll never be able to hear Him unless you value it. I've got a lot of stuff in my notes, but this is what the Holy Spirit seems to be breathing on right now. Unless you value it. Let me move down and we'll thank you, Jesus. I'm going to come back to that. Amen. Let me go to this. We talked about this a little bit several weeks ago, but it's from the story of Mary and Martha. And if you're familiar with that story, you know that Jesus is in their house. He's sitting in a chair in their living room or sitting on the floor, whatever. He's in there and he's speaking, he's teaching. And Mary and Martha are sisters. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. Martha's too busy to listen. She's preparing the meal. Now, as one who loves to prepare meals for people, can I just confess, I'm a recovering Martha. Okay, amen. Amen, are you following me? Serving comes natural to me. And I love to cook. Pam loves to cook. We have a wonderful time together in the kitchen cooking. Cooked a lot of food for Sunday. Had a great time. I apologize for it smelling so good when you came in here Sunday, but amen. We're carrying it into mom and daddy's house, so I had to bring the food here to carry it there. And obviously, you know, there's protocol. There's, you know, tradition. There's standards. You have a guest of honor in your home. You want to honor them. I'm not just trying to spiritualize Martha's dysfunction or my own. But when she got so beside herself, she comes in. She doesn't rebuke Mary. She stands over and talks down to Jesus because she wants Jesus to make Mary go help her. She's, if you ever heard Jeremy Pearson teach on this, at this point he says, somebody say out of order. He preached a whole sermon series on the order of things. And if you've ever gone to like a machine to get a drink or something and it's out of order, or a toilet that's out of order, meaning it's not working right, okay? And he compares how there's things in the body of Christ and they're out of order. And obviously he says, she's out of order. Right? And Jesus didn't blast her, but he did say, and that's the verse in front of you, he says one thing, he says, Martha, Martha, you cumbered about with many serving. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, the tie-in here is Jesus says, to him who has, more will be given, but to him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, there's a couple of comments that we've made already about this, but it's been weeks ago, so let me remind you. I don't believe Mary was lazy any more than I believe Martha had no interest in what Jesus was saying in her living room. But we see that they both made different choices. They both made different choices. And I would imagine that they could both justify the choice that they made in their mind. In other words, I'm sure Martha's like, I would love to be in there listening to what Jesus have to say, but I'm here in the kitchen slaving away. Amen or oh me. You ever been there? Right? Okay. Probably feeling sorry for herself. Something got her in a funk where she got out of order, right? And now she's talking down to Jesus. But Jesus said to her and to them and to us, one thing is needed. Now, in this situation, there were two things that we could make a case. We could make a case that they were both important, but Jesus said only one was needed or necessary. And those two things are this. You can prepare the meal or sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. This is where we've got to, this is what we got to realize now. I'm talking about me and you learning to listen. Okay? And it's very easy for us to substitute serving God for fellowshipping with God. Very easy for us to get so caught up in doing that we never listen. Again, she was too busy to listen. So there's two things that are important. Only one is needed. You can prepare the meal or you can sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. Now, if you do one of these, you can't do the other. I have a television in my house. I watch television. I have a cell phone. Okay. But you can't surf the internet and listen. You know, at some point you got to shut all that off. Well, you know, I watch Fox News and we're at war, Pastor Mark. Well, that's important. But it's not needed. Are you following? How many excuses for what winds up being not listening to God, how many of those excuses begin with, well, I need to? Well, you know, I need to get lunch ready for the kids. I need to wash some clothes. I need to. Are you following me? I won't say any names or anything. Nobody in this room knows this person, but somebody that I've been trying to work with and help at the Foundry, and this individual gave me one of the most ridiculous excuses in the world for not being at church. And I was trying to be nice, but I'm like, so you made that appointment on a Sunday morning? Well, you know, this person's hard to get in touch with. I'm like, okay. But notice, see, what I'm trying to help this individual see is one thing is needed, and the devil knows how much it's needed, and so he's going to try. So again, prepare the meal or sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. If you do one, you can't do the other, so you have to choose. That's why Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part, the part that cannot be taken away from her. Now, it's been years since I've mentioned this, but I used to talk about this all the time, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of it recently. And that's the idea of opportunity costs. And these are economic terms, but they certainly apply here. Opportunity costs are involved here. What is an opportunity cost? The cost of one thing is no longer having the ability to do the other. An opportunity cost would be, let's apply it to money first, okay? If you want a new pair of blue jeans and you also want a new pair of tennis shoes, but you only have money to buy one, buying the blue jeans is going to cost you the opportunity that you did have to buy the shoes. That's opportunity cost. Opportunity cost is what you could have done with that money had you not spent it on that thing. Right? So we all have to make these kinds of choices in our lives. But an opportunity cost then is the blue jeans didn't just cost you the $49.95 or whatever pair of blue jeans cost these days. It cost you the price of the blue jeans plus the opportunity to buy the shoes. That's opportunity cost. Are you following me? So there's an opportunity cost. What do we mean? There's an opportunity cost. Prepare the meal or sit at Jesus' feet. If you do one, you can't do the other. Or let me say it another way. If you do one, it's going to cost you the ability, the opportunity to do the other. So I'm not saying that Martha had all this going on in her head, but breaking it down after the fact, and there's a reason why this is in the scriptures, right? For us to look at it and learn from it. Because whether Martha realizes it or not, she valued preparing the meal over sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. Are you seeing this? In other words, she assigned a value to this. Which one was worth more to her? Now, listen, if the Holy Spirit, and sometimes he does, he gives me insight into these things, and I'll always tell you, hey, you may not agree with this, but you don't have to believe it to go to heaven, but this is what I believe the Lord said. I don't know Martha, but I know me. I don't know Martha, but I know sometimes how human beings function, okay? And I can't say for sure, but maybe she wanted to hear Jesus say that her banana pudding reminded him of heaven. Are you understand what I'm saying? She wanted him to talk about how much he appreciated her and what a good meal this was. And she's one of the finest cooks in all of Bethany and maybe in all the world, right? I mean, Jesus would know, amen, if there's a better cook on planet Earth than her. Maybe that some of that was driving her, right? Maybe she didn't think her choice through. But either way, her actions reflected that the meal and preparing it was more important than sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing what he has to say. Martha's choice, Martha's actions, said she valued preparing the meal above sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. Because, again, the opportunity is doing one cost her the availability of the opportunity to do the other. Now, what am I trying to show you here? I think one of the most important qualifications for God to reveal to you and me the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is that we value it, that we prize it, that we make it a priority, that we choose to treasure it, that we say, you know what, there's a lot of important things in my life, but there's a difference between something that's important and the one thing that's needed. And when I say one thing that's needed, you say, well, there's a lot of things we could put in that category that are needed. None more important than our need to hear the voice of God. None more important. Man doesn't live by bread alone. How important is food? Food is necessary compared to what's needed. And that, notice that's the parallel here, right? Jesus is like, remember they told Jesus, Jesus, man, it's been a while since you've had anything to eat. He goes, my food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. I have bread to eat that you don't know about. And they're like, oh, well, somebody must have slipped him a sandwich. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that he had chosen the part that was needed, not just the part that was important. If the devil can't get you to choose something bad over God's best, he'll get you to choose something good over God's best. And the results can often be, right, the same, because how important is the kingdom? Again, Jesus, look at his teaching. So then how much more should we value and prize to know the mysteries of his kingdom? Amen. Stand with me tonight. Praise God. Is this making sense to you? Get anything out of this? Amen. So I know there's catchphrases, you know, spending some time with the Lord and spend some time in the Word. Man, I got that. We need to do that. But spending time doesn't always mean fellowship, right? So we want to fellowship with the Lord. You can spend time with somebody and never talk to them, right? You know what I'm saying? You get in a vehicle and drive 3 hours, somebody in the truck seat with you, not say three words to them. All right. So it's not just about the time. It's about the interaction. It's about the different levels of engagement. And when Jesus would give those parables, he was trying to draw people in to a response. He was trying to get them to, I wonder what he meant by that. I wonder, what does that have to do with me? You know, I've never heard anybody say things like that, but I wonder if that could, somewhere in all that he said today, there's an answer for my marriage. You know, if there's an answer for my hurt knee. If there's a, is there something in that can benefit me? And it's that interest, it's that level of engagement where we say, you know what, I'm going to look into this further. See, that's where we start moving closer to and putting ourselves in a position to be able to hear God speak to us and reveal very, very precious things to us. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together tonight. Lord, opportunity costs associated with us being here tonight, Lord. Not only did it cost us the time that we're here, it cost us the opportunity to use this hour in a hour and a half, what have you, to do something else. But Father, we chose the best part. And this, I believe, in Jesus' name will not be taken from us. And so, Father, I pray tonight that you would reveal yourself to these men and women in personal and meaningful ways. Father, that as they actively engage your word and your Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth, Father, that they would begin to hear you clearly, that they would recognize, Father, what it is that you're saying to them and how you're trying to help them. And Lord, I believe that you have the answers, and I believe you want us to know those answers. And I thank you, Father, that you're teaching us to value them and treasure them above all else. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Know that you're loved and Jesus is Lord and good things coming. And we'll